This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Thing, even as a private builder or whatever I was doing at the time, I would get a lot of publicity. And without a lot of trying. And I was against certain things. But if you look and you take a look back, you'll see all of the things that you're talking about and all of the things that you're asking about, I was against at that time. And I'm still against. I haven't changed very much. Been very consistent. I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
I'm a really smart guy.
In case anybody had any questions, he is an extremely stable genius.
Leave me alone.
You say those things and you're Donald Trump. You just make people, you make the folks on the left who hate you just turn themselves inside out. Is this Joy Behar clip really 2 minutes?
It's not supposed to be.
I'm not going to play it, but I can't do 2 minutes of Joy Behar. Lindsey Graham was on with Fox and Friends this morning, and this information that we got yesterday after the show, so we interviewed George Papadopoulos yesterday at about 2 o'clock, and then after we interview him, about 3 hours later, there is a news alert that suggests that William Barr has now been given the green light to declassify the FISA stuff. And this was this morning on Fox and Friends. It's a little bit long, but I wanted to have the whole thing in context because Lindsey Graham, he's in charge of the Senate Judiciary, correct? And he would be a very high-level voice. If impeachment ever happened, it would, as we were saying before, it would go to the Senate and he would be acquitted and nothing would happen. And then the Democrats would try to get President Trump out of office with one other possible way and it wouldn't succeed. So Lindsey Graham is talking about, with Fox and Friends, what took place yesterday with President Trump giving the green light to the Attorney General to declassify these documents. And also weighing in on how this is going to go and what's going to happen next. And if you are paying attention to people who seem to be in the know here, Tim Jones was saying this as well, that this is apparently going to happen in a matter of days, more so than weeks. So these documents might be at our disposal very, very soon. Listen to Lindsey Graham this morning.
What do you make of the president saying to Bill Barr, our attorney general, declassify that stuff where the Russia probe started because people should know?
Well, long overdue. You're going to find out the mentality of the people investigating the president. You're going to find out exactly what they did and said. And you'll find out that Papadopoulos was not working with the Russians. And they knew early on that he had no contacts with the Russians.
The FBI knew early on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there'll be some transcripts coming out where he says, well, if you did that, that would be treason. So the bottom line is there's going to be a lot of information about they were warned about Steele. This is a bad guy. You can't trust him. Mm-hmm. They blew through every stop sign.
So you're saying what we will find from this will be very damning.
I say that you will be interested in it. Not one Democrat will give a damn.
Will we really get to the bottom of it, though? Because there are a lot of people that don't trust Washington. They're like, my gosh, they've been investigating for so long. Will we actually see the origin of the Mueller investigation?
I want to give you the raw material in a way it won't compromise our national security. Barr is going to look at it from a criminal point of view. Horowitz is going to tell us about the FISA warrant. Internally, how the Department of Justice and the FBI behaved. And I'm going to look at all of it to make sure it never happens again. I'm going to make sure we have FISA laws that can detect when somebody's giving the court a bunch of garbage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure we have some rules that you just can't open up a counterintelligence investigation on a presidential candidate right. Without having a good reason.
Well, yep. It makes you wonder, Senator, how many times, if ever, FISA court has been given a bunch of garbage and they wound up signing off on the warrant.
It makes you wonder, and we need this court because people are out to get us. But the point is, if you can take the law in your own hands for political purposes, it's not good for a democracy. And here's what I think you're going to learn, that the people involved had political motives. They were out to get Trump and they wanted to help Clinton. And how do you prosecute her if you want her to win? So the reason she wasn't charged, I think, is because they knew that if they charged her, she probably wouldn't win the election.
But she was still going to win. All the people on the TV said she's going to win. We would not be here talking about this if she won.
Yeah, nothing against TV. They were wrong. But the point is, the people in charge of the investigation had a deep-seated bias for her and against Trump, and they ignored stop sign after stop sign because they wanted to get an outcome. And the big thing was they gave her a pass. If you had done what Secretary Clinton had done with classified information, you'd be in jail now.
Forget about it.
Yep. And why isn't she in jail? Because they wanted her to win.
Why isn't she in jail? Because they wanted her to win and they wanted Trump to lose. He says there that the people in charge of this investigation were out to get Trump and were out to help Hillary Clinton. That is exactly the antithesis of what we've been spending 2.5 years under the Mueller investigation trying to find out if Trump did with Putin, suggesting that they worked together because they were out to get Hillary Clinton and they wanted to help Trump. It's the same thing, but helping a different side. And when you have an investigative team that appears to show bias, And in an effort to aid one campaign and hinder another, that is a really, really big deal. It was a really, really big deal to Democrats for the last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So they had a very extensive investigation and it turned up nothing. No collusion, which is what President Trump has said this whole time. When you listen to George Papadopoulos, and you can hear the replay of that at 971talk.com/Annie, when you listen to the way he talks about how his conversations went with investigators and what he anticipates coming out in the next few days or in the next few weeks, and you consider his allegation that this goes all the way up to President Obama, how do we continue to get facts? You hear Lindsey Graham there say, I think the Republicans are going to look at all the information and the president or the Democrats aren't going to give a damn. If the Democrats don't give a damn, and if the Democrats are in charge of half the mainstream media, does anything come of this?
Half?
I don't get half. Half of Americans watch Fox News. So if you look at ratings, Fox News is so much bigger than everything else. Regardless.
That's a good point.
But
all the other, I guess I was just counting media organizations.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. If you do it by organization to organization to organization, if you do it as to American eyeballs on the screen.
That's a great point that I think a lot of people don't realize.
It's my one for the week. Yeah. I barely snuck it in there. I mean, seriously, though, let's say that we get the proof that there A, was spying, and B, that it was warranted based on a contrived story that left off the stuff that would have told the FISA court, no, we're not doing that. This is clear. This is paid for by the Hillary campaign and the Democrats. And you're giving us half the information to paint somebody to look bad. You're not giving us the whole story on said George Papadopoulos. So then they are then warranted to spy on a campaign. And that starts while Obama is in office under James Comey and Loretta Lynch. If this is proven to be true, and we don't have in our hands the touchy-feely, tangible proof right now that we can feel like we can see forming, Democrats have said the same thing about Russia collusion. It turned out there was nothing. So I want people to keep that in mind. If the proof is there, will anybody even care?
You'd like to think that if the proof is there, it would be a game changer, like Trey Gowdy talked about earlier this week, that there are FBI transcripts that if were made public would not only exonerate the president, but is powerful enough that he believes it would change minds while acknowledging how hard it is to change somebody's mind. If you are a person who loves or hates Donald Trump, how hard it is to change a person's mind either way. He said, even acknowledging that, I think that this is powerful enough evidence that might change some minds and be a game changer in his words. I don't know. I don't know that there is enough. I don't know that game changers like that exist anymore.
No, we're still polar. Let's listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bureau is going to send an informant in, the informant's going to be wired. And if the Bureau is monitoring telephone calls, there's going to be a transcript of that. And some of us have been fortunate enough to know whether or not those transcripts exist. but they haven't been made public. And I think one in particular is going, it has the potential to actually persuade people. Very little on this Russia probe, I'm afraid, is going to persuade people who hate Trump or who love Trump. But there is some information in these transcripts that I think has the potential to be a game changer if it's ever made public.
You say that's exculpatory evidence. And when people see that, they're going to say, wait, why wasn't this presented to the court earlier?
So there's Trey Gowdy saying what we were just saying here. First of all, whose opinion of President Trump is swayable at this point? And secondly, if there was something that could possibly change those other three people that exist somewhere in the country, their opinion on President Trump, that this could be the thing that does it.
I mean, we have seen so much evidence, that damning evidence against Democrats and Hillary Clinton in specifically, I mean, bleach bidding her, wiping her server clean and
what if
her cell phone with a hammer.
What if Trump would have done something like that? Like erased a whole body of evidence.
None of it sticks. None of it sticks.
I
don't know why this would stick.
Which is, well, that all happened when the investigators were able to prioritize one over the other. And if you listen to what Lindsey Graham was just saying on Fox News this morning, on Fox and Friends, that when you look at how the investigative team decided to prioritize working against Trump, investigating Trump, and not necessarily exonerating, because James Comey had that, you know, specific choice of words when he came out and said what he said about, like, she wasn't really doing it the right way, but we're not going to do anything about this. When they prioritized Trump over Hillary, they wanted Hillary to win. That's what Lindsey Graham is saying. If we had that kind of body of evidence against the Trump administration or President Trump himself in regards to working with Russia, this would be over. And I remember saying many, many, many times that I want to know what comes of the investigation into Russia collusion. I want to know the truth. I don't want to know what I want to know, whatever I've decided is best for me in my head before we have the information. I want the facts. And I also have been concerned this whole time that Trump supporters would not listen to the results of the investigation if, in fact, there was very clear evidence that President Trump did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I was afraid that the way it was being covered was polarizing people so much that if there was information that came out that President Trump did do something, that we should all be able to look at and go, that's really bad, when in regards to colluding with Russia to steal an American election. That we've become so polarized that Trump supporters, Republicans, would not be able to see that for what it is. We're past that now. You know, a lot of people are saying, but obstruction, but obstruction, but obstruction. And I say, in the context of where President Trump was, with his lawyers keeping him inside the appropriate place, I don't think that I'm concerned about obstruction when he didn't commit the crime that you're suggesting he obstructed. But at the same time, now that we're looking into how could we spend this much time and this much money looking into something that really didn't happen and wanting to know where it started, if we find out that somebody tried to set candidate Donald Trump up, that is treasonous.
Mm-hmm. Hey, part of the problem is, to your point, of that people are dug in so deep on both sides that even if you did find evidence against, all this evidence we talked about against Hillary Clinton, or if they were able to find some, that there would be Republicans, many of them, Trump supporters, that would still stand by the president. And it's because, and we see this a lot, or I do at least, from listeners of this station, that, and people that I talk to, I don't think this is the majority, but there's a lot of people out there that feel like if you admit that Donald Trump did something wrong, that is somehow saying that you support a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's not how it
That's
works.
That's insane. You That's can be, not at all it. Yeah.
You can be, and I think it exists very strongly on the left side, too. They feel like if they admit that Hillary Clinton is a terrible person and a criminal, that somehow means that Republicans win.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways. You don't have to leave your party
completely,
or give up your beliefs if you think that one of the politicians in your are willing to admit that somebody in your party did something wrong.
You need to be able to be critical based on your own personal interest, your own personal perspective, and understanding the country and the Constitution. That's pretty much it. And
I mean,
your circumstances and mine are going to be different.
Very literally, we've gone on here before and I've, you know, said something, criticized the president in some way, and then receive a call or a tweet from somebody saying, well, I guess you just wanted Hillary Clinton to win. No.
Yeah, it's a pretty far journey to travel from what I just said.
But it's mm-hmm. it's a journey that people travel like that. Yeah.
I think,
not again, not everybody, but I think that exists. You know, I think that's always something that
it's a squeaky wheel thing to me, though, because my conversations with people who listen to the show, especially women who are my age, give or take 10 or 15 years, want to be able to criticize and support the president at the same time. And I would say,
and you should be able to
tell me a relationship in your life that you are not critical of at times.
Right.
Certainly. I can think of many relationships, people who I am very close to, who at times they are critical of me and I am critical of them, but we still support each other. That's life. You can't be 100% for everything that somebody does. That's crazy. Like, loony crazy. Why are you so obsessed with me? To quote a fantastic movie. 314-241-9797. I want to ask you about criticizing the president or about criticizing another member in the party. Do you ever feel like you can't be critical of somebody and still support them? Do you feel like that attack ever happens to you? Or maybe you just keep your mouth shut because you're too afraid to, not necessarily too afraid, but it's not worth it. It just doesn't become worth your time and energy to maybe criticize the president for something, but then explain why you still support him. Or somebody else says to you, how can you support the president when you're a Christian? Scratch Christian. When you're a woman, scratch woman. When you're such a young person, scratch that. When you're a living, breathing person. And you're like, well, it's complicated and I'd explain it, but I just really don't think you want to hear my answer. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. How do you handle that situation? We'll be back with your phone calls.
No.
There's playing that horn and just doing it when it's completely silent so it scares Katie, and then there's also sounding it just so she like panics and like starts slapping things on the board to make it stop, and then realizing it's just me over here giggling about it.
I probably would have been really panicky, but my mind is elsewhere.
Why?
I'm just not feeling too hot. I'm not feeling too good.
So we've been talking quite a bit about the president and his permitting Attorney General Barr to declassify those FISA documents. And even after this is all said and done, if we were to find out and have all the evidence we needed to prove that the Hillary campaign and the DNC worked with Fusion GPS, and then Fusion GPS through Nellie Orr, who worked for her, worked with her husband, Bruce Orr, who was in the Justice Department, to try to undermine the president's then candidate Donald Trump's ability to become president of the United States, that would be a really big deal, right? Well, the question is, would it really? And are we so concerned now, so tribal, that if you support the president, you can't be critical of the president, you can't say bad things about the president without also still supporting the president? You have to support him in full, in total. Kind of complicated, and I think we all experience this to a varying degree. I want to take some phone calls on this. 314-241-9797. Let's start with Jeff. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks, Annie.
Yeah.
I think you can, I support the president. I think he's done a fantastic job with all the pressures and all this other stuff he's had on him. But, you know, there's some things that he's done in the past, and there's even some things with this, you know, pursuing a $2 trillion infrastructure bill that don't set with me very well, but generally I support the president and I can still support him.
Mm-hmm.
The only other comment I wanted to make had to do with the investigation. And I've heard that the Mueller people knew early on that there was no collusion. If that's the case, I'd love to know what the rest of the investigation was about. If it was just kind of trying to set traps for people to
like perjury traps.
Could be considered obstruction. Anyway, Enjoy your show.
Jeff, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in. That is, I believe it was Hans von Spakovsky who we had on with the Heritage Foundation, who is a constitutional lawyer. I asked him, this was after the Mueller report was released, I believe. I asked him, I said, when do you think that they actually knew there was no collusion? And he said, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, then what?
How do we get here?
Do we need to go this far? Or did they find out things in the midst of this? I mean, the idea that the president didn't try to steal this election should be something that is cheered on by all people. Just like if you find out that, oh no, they did provide everything to the FISA court. They were given bad information by somebody, had a really bad informant who seemed credible, and it's explainable. It's not good news for the United States of America to find out that our Justice Department, that the FBI and the CIA tried to do this to a candidate for the presidency. It's not going to be a bright, good, happy day for America to find out that this really happened. But it will be a new day for America if we are able to actually expose the truth. We just want the truth. Like, I think in the news entertainment industry these days, everything is sensational. Everything is hyper dramatic. But we need to get to the place where we make sure that everybody understands that we expect the truth and that we want the truth. And that ultimately we can handle the truth. Zach, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'll try to be brief. I have a couple reasons. So to address what you were saying about would Trump supporters have even listened, you know, if they found evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would listen to real evidence, not to people's opinion.
Yeah.
But the reason I was already past that idea a long time ago is, one, I'm the source of the WikiLeaks, the source of the emails was from within the DNC. It was Seth Rich, and it was obvious. And so once they completely canned that investigation and acted like he was mugged, even though they left his watch and his money and his shoes and everything valuable, and he was murdered a couple hours before he was supposed to interview with the FBI, once they stopped doing that, I stopped listening to them saying, oh, we've got evidence that's coming on Trump. And then my other reason that I had pretty much no interest in listening to their trumped up stuff against Trump is that, which this I hear all the time, is how great Robert Mueller is and what a patriot and all this. Robert Mueller has been dirty for decades. He's covered up the CIA's involvement with Noriega. He's covered up drug money laundering with two major banks, I think HSBC, and I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. He's covered up for pedophiles in the past. Robert Mueller is awful.
Well, you know, Zach, I think thanks for the phone call. I know a lot of the stuff that he's saying right now is like Q stuff, right? Isn't this the conspiratorial stuff that is the QAnon
that's
stuff?
Dangerous.
And I'm aware of that. I know that it's out there. I know people subscribe to it. I don't personally subscribe to it. I don't think that it's... I've looked into it enough to know that I don't want to go down that
road,
path.
Yeah.
So...
Are you generally a conspiracy theory person or not?
Not like that. I mean, that's like separate world type of stuff.
Right.
I do believe, I mean, I would say that.
I like a good conspiracy theory.
Well, it's
I don't
who
necessarily
you.
Believe in them.
Here's the difference,
though.
But I like
though, to, I like about to them. Do a little bit of
it. And you can respect this, too.
I like
as somebody
to go down those holes.
Who's participating in news on a basically 24/7 cycle. Mm-hmm. That once you start creating these file folders in your brain of information, especially when it comes to things that are as complicated as the Mueller investigation or anything that has to do with a big political controversy. If I were to start researching that just to see what it is, I don't want to get any of my facts crossed when I'm coming on here and delivering information or doing interviews or whatever. Like the idea of this Q stuff, and I know, I don't want to take calls and I'm not going to take calls on Q right now. So don't call on the show and waste your time and hold. And I know it's out there. I know people who believe in it. And I'm just not participating in the conversation. It's there. I don't think it's responsible for me to have that conversation here. But it's hard to go down that road and see where that road has taken some people and say to myself, I want to mix that information with facts. Because really, for me, and it's exactly what I've been saying about the Mueller investigation, the Russia collusion investigation and what I'm saying right now. I want to know when we have facts that are presentable in court that say X happened or Y happened or X and Y didn't happen. I just want the actual information. And you can get into the conspiracy theory conversations. You can talk about theories. I got a lot of theories. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of theories about what I think happened. But that's different. I'm not going to come on here and tell you all my theories. I'm going to wait and see what happens, which is why I hope that you trust me that when I'm talking to you about something, it's rooted in information.
I think that's why it's so easy for people like Alex Jones and other conspiracy people to get a lot of attention these days, is because there's so much that we don't know that we feel like is being kept from us, because it seems so obvious that you should be able to connect certain dots. And, you know, it seems so obvious that some people are engaged in really bad behavior, but they don't ever pay the price for it. So then you start to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if they're not, if it's so obvious that this person is guilty, but they're not, you know, they're not being convicted of any of it, it must be because they're connected to some other thing that, that keeps them.
I just don't want to go there.
And then people start filling in. And that's why it's so easy for these conspiracy theories, because so much stuff is kept from us or doesn't make sense to us. And we want, like you're saying, we want the answers. Mm-hmm. We want.
But I want the proof. Real answers.
We want proof. We want court records, and we want trials and testimony and real answers. We don't get them, and then that's when these
we've got a comment on our web chat, which we run every day that we do a show on our FM News Talk 97.1 YouTube page and at 97.1talk.com/Annie. And it says, glad you're finally talking about Q. It's definitely the inside track. I am going to disagree with it being the inside track. I don't think that it's reliable information, but what you just said there at the beginning, if I'm into conspiracy theories, you said you love a good conspiracy theory. You're entertained by them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very different to be entertained and occupied by something.
And,
very
and
different.
And be a full believer.
Yes.
Be a full believer.
It's
right.
Very different than for me to come here and report to you on what those theories are.
As fact.
Yeah.
That's very different things.
I'm not doing it. So I'm not going to go out there and tell everybody what to do, because you aren't going to listen to me anyway, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I'm not going down that road. I just don't think it's not worth my time. I'd rather spend my time with my kids watching, you know, fun movies that I love.
What can I say except you're welcome?
Sorry, that's all there is to it.
Moana.
I've got more for later. Let's keep, you've signed, or no. Annie,
okay? Are you okay?
What day is today?
It's Friday.
What years?
And I've got them.
You do?
I do.
All right. Well, we'll do that as soon as we
lots
come back.
Lots of good ones.
Lots of good ones. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. You can watch the webcam at FM News Talk 97.1's YouTube channel. Go subscribe to it. You'll be notified when we go live and get all the other content we put up there. Tony uploads a daily newscast, so you can get the daily local news, any of the big headlines that you need to see as well. So go subscribe to that FM News Talk 97.1 YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Back in a second with Annie. Are you okay? Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Katie's going into this weekend real sassy.
Uh-huh.
Tony's making me mad.
Yeah, listen to how mad she is right now.
I have such a hard time feeling any other emotion besides happiness, except for when I get home and my husband doesn't do the dishes.
That's
then
the thing.
I'm like,
that's where you draw the line at the sink. Do you have a dishwasher?
You have a dishwasher.
What, your husband?
Yes. No. If the dishes are piled up, I just get anxious.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you guys go home and you have like laundry piled up or something, I just get anxious and I'm like,
what level of dirty will you put a dish into the dishwasher? How much rinsing?
Rinse in?
Yeah. Like, I have no problem with particles.
No, I don't either.
Some people do.
Yeah. No, if I'm going to wash my dishes, I'll just do it myself.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Annie, you okay? You okay, Annie? All right. You've raised expectations.
I knocked my headphones out of those.
Hey, your microphone's working today, by the way.
Can't hear anything.
Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Putting in
they
that
fixed
support
it
ticket.
Immediately after the show yesterday.
Thanks, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed it.
A guy in Connecticut who's wanted for failure to appear to make a deal with the cops that he turned himself in. Wait a minute. What does this say? A guy in Connecticut who's wanted for failure to appear. There's the punctuation's not in the right place in this sentence. A guy in Connecticut who's wanted for failure to appear made a deal with the cops that he'd turn himself in if his wanted poster got 15,000 likes on Facebook.
I wonder if they have to be likes.
That's what that was his deal. He made this deal with the police. They put his wanted poster on Facebook, and this is in Connecticut, and he reached out to them and said, they're looking for him. He's a wanted criminal, and he says, I'll turn myself in if my wanted poster on Facebook gets 15,000 likes. The police took the deal, promoted on Facebook, we need you to like this post and get it to 15,000 likes so we can get this guy. And it worked. The poster hit 15,000 likes in less than one day. However, no word yet on whether or not the guy has actually
turned in.
Followed
what
through.
What did it say he did?
And turned himself in. Failure to appear was the only. So I don't know what the original crime was, but he failed to appear after that. Annie, are you okay with using social media as a way to negotiate with criminals?
I love when police departments do things like they'll. I've seen police departments put like Cheetos and Doritos and like snacks and munchies in the corner and saying, like on 420, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, just let you know, anybody who's celebrating 420
today,
it's like pot smoker trap, and they put this stuff out. It's funny.
I think
so.
It's
I'm
great.
Okay. I actually think that it's kind of interesting that the police officers did this and honestly made a fool out of this guy at the same time. Hopefully they get it.
A recent poll was taken asking people about their habits in the shower, and people.
Does it have to do with peeing?
Peeing in the shower?
Nope. It has to do with washing your legs. People were asked, do you wash your legs in the shower? I don't know why that's a question, and I don't know why you wouldn't.
I was going to say.
80% of people say they do. 20%, one in five
people don't wash their legs.
One in five people don't wash their legs in the shower.
No. I don't think any of those, well, none of that one in five are female who shave their legs. You have to wash your legs.
You've got to wash your legs. I've heard this before about feet. I've heard this before, like, people talking about if they wash their feet or not in the shower. Like, actually scrub with body wash and such.
Or soap, yeah.
Or if they just, like, don't do that and they think the water.
So gravity apparently was- there's very, yeah, and I guess to that exact way of thinking, Katie, apparently there's strong, the people, the one in five that don't, the 20% have very strong feelings of why, and it's that, yeah, all the soap and everything washes down. And so you're just automatically
cleaning
your legs and I guess feet also.
I've heard that.
If you know, you're just taking a shower and washing the top half. Are you okay, Annie, with people being selective about what body parts they wash?
It's a step up for some people to even be in the shower, so
you're okay with
it? I'm not going to police the shower habits of other people as long as they have habitual showers. I think it's probably
why wouldn't you? It only takes what, 10
right,
seconds?
Katie? Right.
10 seconds to scrub a little
wash
bit?
Wash your legs, you ding-dongs.
Wash those darn legs.
Girl.
Come on.
Wash your legs.
A bride recently got upset when one of her guests showed up with 10 Tupperware containers.
I thought you were trying to lose weight.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Did she take it to go containers?
A woman in Pennsylvania recently posted this story about her wedding on a Facebook group called That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming. That's the name of the Facebook group.
Oh.
She said that one of her, she invited one of her dad's friends and let them bring his daughter and daughter's husband to her small wedding, and then got upset when she found out that the woman that she barely knew brought 10 Tupperware containers to her wedding, filled 7 of them with food from the buffet dinner, and three of them with dessert.
Oh my Lord.
She also grabbed a few beers and some floral centerpieces on her way out.
Oh my gosh. That's so rude.
When they opened their card from them, their gift was a $5 bill.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of
that
this
is
works.
Crazy.
The woman is not struggling financially. She just wanted the leftovers.
No, because she steals everything.
Now, there's a big debate. There was a big debate in the comments section of this post of whether or not what the woman did was okay. Some people are actually defending her, saying the food would have just gone to waste if she didn't take it. Most people are horrified.
Yes, horrified.
Annie,
horrified.
Are you okay with somebody loading up on wedding food?
No. Why, so what is wrong with people?
Showing up with 10 Tupperware containers.
That's the nuttiest thing I've ever heard. And I'm going to say this too. When you said something about a bride is complaining, I immediately was against the bride because I despise this idea that you get to hold 200 of your closest guests hostage to do your every whim for one day. Never once mentioning the groom that's involved in the exact same situation as you are. I hate the
bride.
Oh my gosh, I hate it. But that woman is nuts. That is insane.
7 Tupperwares full of entrees, 3 full of dessert, plus some beers and centerfold.
And you said that she didn't even know her very well.
Didn't know her very well. And she
it's muscacholi.
No. $5 bill.
Not okay with it. Send that back. I can't believe it. Podcast, wherever you get podcasts, search Annie Fry Show. Dave Lover's show coming up next. How was DGS5?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.